The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Big Show, Your Money with David Hayes. It is the live Saturday morning edition. Okay, this is how this all shook down. I was in Tampa, Florida for most of the week for a conference they called a Mastermind Collegium, where we get together, talk about best practices, different things going on in the industry. Good times, right? Well, this was my first time with this group. Well, about 6 months ago, I asked someone at my office to register me for this event. So I sent them the thing and said, just register me for everything. So they did. Monday morning, I get into the office, and I had in my mind concocted this trip to leave Monday afternoon, coming back Wednesday. The reason that was important is my son had a wrestling meet on Wednesday night in Greenwood. And then on Thursday night, we had the Man Up event at the Boys and Girls Club. So I had it all planned out to come in and record the show on Thursday around 4, make the Man Up event at 6. Everything was going to be cool. Well, that's not the way it worked out. In fact, when I got to the office, I realized that I don't come back until Thursday afternoon. Even worse, I get to the meeting, and I shouldn't even have been there that early. I get there, and they said, why are you here so early? I'm like, well, doesn't it start in the morning? Well, it does, but not for you. This is the new people that are here on Tuesday. You don't really start until Wednesday around noon. I'm like, fantastic. So I get up on Tuesday morning down in St. Petersburg, Florida. Beautiful day, by the way. And thinking to myself, okay, what am I going to do? Well, obviously, you know, I'm a fisherman, so I thought, well, I'll go out and look for a trip. So I went down to the marina and walked around looking for someone that was looking for a customer like myself to go out and fish for a few hours. I couldn't find anybody, so I came back up the hill, had some breakfast at a beautiful little bistro that overlooked the bay. And then I thought, well, what am I going to do all day long? I'm all by myself. All right, let's go do something. So I thought, well, I need a haircut, first of all. So I went to the Supercuts, Ubered all over the place in St. Petersburg and Tampa, by the way, that day. I got a haircut. When I'm done with the haircut, I get out of the shop, I take a right, and I see this little sign that says, massages $1 a minute. Great, that's what I need, a neck and shoulder massage. So I walked into this place and received about a 15-minute shoulder and neck massage. When I'm done there, I grabbed one of those touristy brochures and thought, what else is around this area? Oh, they have a dog track. I've never been to a dog track before. So I Ubered over to the dog track. That was quite an adventure. A little bit depressing, to be honest with you. It was the middle of the day on a Tuesday, and the place was full of people that pretty much looked miserable. But anyway, it was an interesting and fun experience. I'll just put it that way. So when I was done at the dog track, I thought, well, what else is there to do? Well, again, I wanted to fish, so I heard about this fishing pier. Well, it was the bridge, the sky bridge that used to go from Tampa to St. Pete. They just chopped it off. They have a brand new bridge down there. In fact, we own that bond at one point, the sky bridge bond. We don't own it any longer. And there's another funny story about that. My son, we were heading over that bridge one time, and I said, oh, we own the bond for this bridge. And my son said, oh, you own this bridge? No, I don't own the bridge. We own a bond that supported the bridge. But anyway, so they just lopped off the old road and called it a pier, put a couple of restrooms and a little bait and tackle shop on there. So I walked out there and rented a pole for like $10, got some cut bait, and fished for about an hour. And I caught one little fish that maybe it was 6 or 8 inches long. It was puffy with spines all over it. I had no idea what it was. So I had to put my foot on it, get the hook out, and kind of kick it back in the water. So that was pretty much it for me that on that Tuesday. So I first thought it was going to be a waste of day, but now I've looked back on it and thought I kind of needed that day. So somehow, you know, the stars aligned for me to have, quote, a day off, and I enjoyed it. Came back for dinner, and then I came on Thursday. The event actually ended at 3, but I had to leave early because, of course, we wanted to get back, record the show, get to the Man Up event. On Wednesday night, I actually FaceTime with my wife to watch my son's wrestling meet over in Greenwood, and he ended up getting a concussion. He lost. It was terrible, and he's out. We were supposed to be in Jasper this morning for a big tournament, and he's at home sleeping and resting, and he's recovering nicely, so everything should be good there. And, oh, by the way, today's his birthday. He's 17 years old today. Can you believe that? For those of you that have listened to the show for all of 16 years, you know that he was a little bitty guy, one in some change when I first started doing the program, and time has gone by really, really quickly. Even remember those days where I took callers, right, whenever we could do that, and he called in on a Father's Day weekend and wished me a happy Father's Day when he was about 2 or 3 years old. So a lot of great memories there. I can't believe he's 17 years old today, so happy birthday, buddy. I love you. So anyway, on Thursday, I go to the airport. I'm on the Frontier, on a Frontier flight. If you've ever flown Frontier, it appears to be a very cheap flight, like $98 from Tampa to Indianapolis. All right, that seemed very, very affordable. It was cool. It was awesome. $98. But then, if you actually want a seat in an area that you can get out of the airplane in a timely manner, you have to pay for that, like another $25 or $35. And then if you have a carry-on, you have to pay for that. Obviously, if you want a drink of water, you have to pay for that. So here's a word of advice. If you fly Frontier, you know, make sure that you've eaten, that you've had something to drink, and you don't take anything with you. And if that's the case, then you're going to have a great trip at a very affordable price. So anyway, I'm at the airport in Tampa, and I actually was kind of enjoyable. They were playing Christmas music. I was walking through the airport, and it just seemed somewhat festive. I got the Wall Street Journal, got a USA Today, got a few pieces of candy, got a bottle of water. I'm ready to board the plane. It's supposed to leave just before noon. I was to arrive in Indianapolis at 2:15. I was in seat number 2D, which meant I was going to boogie up the plane. I had no check bags. I had my carry-on. That was it. I get to my car. I'm going to drive to the station. I'm going to do the radio show. I'm going to then go to my office, change my clothes, and get to the Man Up event. So this was my big plan. Well, I knew, and I have a tendency of doing this, kind of trying to squeeze a lot of things into a little bit of time. I knew that I had about a 20-minute window of, you know, a standard deviation, I guess, in my plan. So anyway, the plane's like not getting ready to take off, not getting ready to take off, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, this thing's going to be delayed, and boy, was it ever. They'd said it's delayed, mechanical reasons. I'm like, all right, I'm still okay. I have this 20-minute window. And fortunately, about 15 minutes into it, they're like, hey, we're boarding. Great. We get on the plane. We take off. We land in Indianapolis about 2:40. So I'm like, this is cool. I get to my car just at about 3 o'clock, and I needed to be at the station at 4. So I'm still on schedule, assuming that there's no traffic in Martinsville, which everyone knows who's been traveling to and from Indianapolis. That's a crapshoot. So I get in the car and I'm headed south on 67. I call my wife, kind of say, hey, did you remember to bring my suit to the office? She said, yes. I said, great. So I'm like, all right, I'm headed to the station. I had all my radio stuff ready to go. Rocking and rolling. And then I tell her, I said, there's something wrong with my car. I don't really know what's going on. I said, I need to go. So I hung up and I hear this. I'm like, holy crap, maybe I have a flat tire. So I pull off right in front of Bradford Woods, which, by the way, I actually had a portable kind of fishing pole thing my wife bought me in a briefcase that I took with me to Florida. I should have just stopped, went to Bradford Woods and fished in that great lake that they have there. But that's not how it turned out. I had a flat tire. My left rear was completely flat. So I'm kind of panicking at this point. Like, I'm not going to be able to get the show done. I'm not going to get home in time for the Man Up event. This thing's going to be... And we're the presenting sponsor, by the way. This isn't just some event that I was just going to show up at. We were actually head table presenting sponsor. Tire flat. I have dress pants on, a white IU pullover, and it's freezing outside. I have no gloves, no jacket, no nothing, which, you know, I should have listened to my mother many years ago when she always said, bring a jacket, bring gloves, and bring clean underwear. That was the message my mother always gave me growing up. I didn't listen. I had a suitcase full of dirty stuff. Anyway, I'm like, all right, so I'm panicking at this point, so I call someone and said, hey, can I get towed? And they said, well, no, it's not gonna happen anytime soon. So I get the spare tire out, I get the jack out, and the jack is like any other jack, you know, on these they're just terrible. So I'm finally like, all right, I'm gonna call in AAA. I have this card in my car. I've never used AAA before. Actually, we used it one time in Ohio, but that was many years ago. And I called them, and my card said January 1 of 2018 when the expiration was. So I call them, and they're like, all right, your membership has expired for non-payment. Okay, that's just fantastic. So what do I do next? They said, well, if you pay, then we can call someone and have them come out. All right, I'll pay. So I paid the $70 or whatever it was. They brought me back to the service department, and I said, hey, I need some help. And they said, oh, you haven't paid. I said, yes, I paid. I just paid. So you had to check with them. Yes, you paid. All right, we'll get someone out. In the meantime, I've called my nephew, Austin, and said, Austin, what are you doing? He said, nothing. I said, fantastic. Get in the car. Drive to Bradford Woods. I'm taking your car back to Bloomington. You're going to wait for the people to come change my tire. Okay, Uncle David, here I go. So here he comes towards Martinsville. Then I get a call, and the tow truck driver says to me, what's going on? I tell him what's happening. Where are you? He's, oh, I'm just like 10 minutes away. Great, come on. So as this is boiling down, it's now 3:30. You know, it's like this is all bad. They get there. I call my nephew and said, hey, where are you? He said, I just got on North 37. I'm about where Parker Pools is. I said, turn around, go back. I said, they're going to be here in 10 minutes. So he turns around and heads back. The guy gets there. We put my new tire on. And by the way, the new tire is a donut, and it says do not exceed 50 miles an hour, which is not a problem in the construction zone because the speed limit's 45. But, you know, when you're kind of in a hurry, you might want to push the envelope a little bit. So I'm thinking, you know, 50, that's kind of one of those, you know, things that really means 60, right? So that was kind of my limitation. So I was going about 60 miles an hour. Finally, I just called the radio station, got a hold of Alex, our producer, and said, man, I am not going to make this thing. In fact, I'm not even going to be close. So just replay last week's show. So if you were listening on Thursday night, you know that last week, you might have thought, well, this is what I heard last week. It was what you heard last week. I'll be in Saturday morning to rock a new show. And he said, that's fine. So that's what he did. Then I get to the office about 5 till 5, and or maybe 10 till 5, it doesn't matter. I get in, I go in my office, my suit jacket's there, shirt, pants, everything's there, but then I realized the shirt my wife brought was one that required cufflinks. I didn't have any cufflinks, so fortunately the dry cleaner had shown up. We have the dry cleaning people that come pick up our stuff and bring it back to the office, and I had a shirt, so I put it on. And I'm getting texts from the event coordinator of the Man Up event, like, where in the heck are you? Because we had Quinn Buckner, we had Damon Bailey, we had Bobby Plump. We had a great cast of people that he wanted me to meet and talk with before the event. So I speed over on my donut tire to the Boys and Girls Club. Of course, by that time, the parking is tough. But anyway, I find a spot, I jump out, I run in, I meet everybody. We get the event off, and it was a great event for the Boys and Girls Club. So that is how I ended up here on a Saturday morning live in the studio. So with that said, you know where I'm standing. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do a little news of the week. And then later on, we're going to talk about tax reform. And then what else do we have on the agenda? I have so much to talk about. It's ridiculous. We'll just get to it as we get to it. I'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes, live Saturday morning edition, old school style. Hey, Hoosiers take on Louisville today at 2 o'clock. Louisville, you have to say it like you have a mouthful of pennies. Louisville, not Louisville. It's Louisville, according to the people who live down in Kentucky. Also, man, big news, right? Indiana plays Stanford in soccer, the national championship game on Sunday. What? Here, okay, so last night we had the COTA, Children's Organ Transplant Association, Christmas party, and it was great. It was at the Bloomington Country Club. My wife and I were there. It was with my brother Dan and his wife Jackie and a whole bunch of other people, and we had a really great time, so thank you for inviting us. But we afterwards, we thought, well, let's go downstairs to the pub, and we hung out for another hour or so and talked about different things. Looked up on the TV, and Indiana's playing North Carolina in soccer in the Final Four. So we walk out of the pub about 9 o'clock, 9:30, and headed home. And we're like, you know, it's interesting that it's just a sad reality, I guess. But they're in the Final Four, and that's a big deal. Had Indiana basketball been in the Final Four, that place would have been completely bonkers, full of people running on the streets if they won, whatever. But it's soccer, and for some reason, soccer has never really taken off the way that other sports have, obviously. And here it is, the national championship game. And here's something funny that it made me sort of relate back to this Hall of Fame, or I'm sorry, the Man Up event for the Boys and Girls Club. Bobby Plump, you know, 1950-something, hit the big shot for Milan to win the state tournament in basketball. And he said that he was being recruited by Indiana at the time. He didn't have electricity. He didn't have television. They had no news out of Indianapolis. He said, we didn't even know that Indiana won the national championship in 1953. Isn't that incredible? So I was thinking to myself, maybe this is a little bit like that back, you know, 50 years ago plus, they didn't even know they won the national championship. I'm almost certain that that there's many people here in the community that have no idea that Indiana soccer was in the Final Four. They beat North Carolina. They're in the national championship game for Sunday against Stanford. So if they win the national championship, which I hope they do, and we'll see. But the news just doesn't travel for soccer like it does other big sports. I'm not sure why. All right, hey, let's do a little news of the week brought to you by Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, supported by us here at Comprehensive Financial Consultants. Learn more about the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. Go to mcshof.com or simply Google Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. All right, guys, from By the Numbers, which, by the way, Mick Higley, who is the publisher of By the Numbers, will be my guest next week. Looking forward to that. This comes from the Department of Labor. Of our country's 147 million employees, they're split 85-15 between private sector and public sector employers. Now, here's the thing. That's just the same as I've been talking about for quite some time, that only 14% of companies with over 500 employees are public companies. The rest of them are private. And in our investment world, we tend to just dabble in that 14% of the companies. That's the stocks. That's the bonds. But what about that other 86% of the companies? And that's why we've talked about alternative investments that give you access to those companies, both from an equity and a debt perspective. But I thought that was pretty interesting. It sort of drove home the point that I've been trying to make for a while, that a lot of folks are missing out completely on an entire group of companies to invest in that are simply private, not public. And this trend's continuing. More companies are going private than are going public. The House Tax Cuts and Job Acts proposed a one-time tax of 14% on the estimated $2.6 trillion of profits held overseas by subsidiaries of U.S. multinational firms. The 14% proposal rate would replace the existing 35% top marginal rate that may be deterring movement of the funds back to the U.S. today. Now, this isn't the first time we did it. We had a similar holiday back in 2015 when a one-time 5.25% tax incentive, which meant that instead of 35%, you went down just below 30, was utilized, and that motivated American businesses to repatriate $360 billion back to the U.S. So if we have a 14% tax rate, maybe all 2.6, don't count on it, trillion will be back in the U.S., and that's good for America. Tax cuts in the Job Act also proposed a 1.4% levy on the investment income from endowments of private colleges' earnings that are currently untaxed, like Harvard. Harvard had $37.1 billion in endowment funds. They would have owed about $39 million on the $2.8 billion it earned in fiscal year 2017. Now, here's the thing. Here's what earnings are. So don't get too, you know, get your panties in a bunch over this. Here's what this means. And I've always had a hard time with this too. Harvard made $2.8 billion, but what did they pay out? They didn't pay out $2.8 billion. Now, if they paid out $2.8 billion to people to help them get an education or to, you know, help this or help that, then their net income would be zero because they've distributed that. That's like a deduction. Well, that means that they are hoarding or keeping a lot of this money. So all they're saying is that, hey, we're going to impose a small tax on the money that you earned but didn't distribute. I don't see anything wrong with that. The only thing I would say is that what if they lose money? If they lose money, they should get a little bit of a tax credit. Just my opinion. All right, here's something else. Long-term guesses from the federal government generally don't work out very well. You've seen this before. We've talked about it many times. When President Franklin Roosevelt proposed the Social Security retirement program in 1935. FDR's financial people projected that the total Social Security expenditures would reach $1.3 billion by the year 1980, or 45 years into the future. The actual outlays in 1980, $149 billion. The analysts' 1935 estimate represented less than 1%. Of the actual 1980 Social Security expenditures. This comes directly from the Social Security Office. So when they project, you know, out 10 years, I don't believe it. Certainly when they project out 30 or 40 years, it's hard to put any real faith in that. All right, finally, one more thing. A Government Accountability Office report recently showed that 90% of the income, retirement income, from one-third of American households headed by folks over 65 come from Social Security. So that's something I've been talking about for a long time, the retirement crisis in America. But here's the thing. Finally, Bitcoin's wildest ride yet, 40% in 40 hours. Bitcoin mania reached a new high on Thursday as the price of the digital currency jumped about 40% in 40 hours. At one point on Thursday, the price briefly jumped above $19,000 before quickly retreating back to about $16,000. This comes from the Wall Street Journal. The most recent moves brought Bitcoin's year-to-date gain to about 1,500%. This is a massive bubble, folks. I don't know how else to explain it. It's clear to me that people are putting money in simply because other people are putting money in. And that's the definition of a bubble. Now, where's this thing going to end? I have no idea. Am I completely wrong about this? I doubt it, but I might be. And just as I've said on the show, I'm practicing what I preach, folks. I'm not going to get down on something I'm not really up on. All right, let's take a break. Let's come back and talk a little tax reform. Who's it going to benefit the most, both the winners and the losers? More winners than losers, fortunately, but both people and companies. We'll talk about that. And then what are some obvious changes that we see coming? And then also things that I thought would happen that I haven't seen. And then also, how do we get ready to get ready in case we do have some nice tax reform come through that would benefit you and give you an opportunity to do what you know you need to do? Because, listen, folks, the math says what the math says. When you're still spending more than you're bringing in, at some point that has to stop. We just crossed over $20 trillion of debt. Where's that money going to come from? It's going to come from people that have money. So when we come back, we're going to talk about tax reform. And then once it passes, what do you do? So we'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. What great music on a nice cool day in Bloomington. You know, that makes you feel like you're on the beaches in the Caribbean, but no, you're not. You're actually in South Central Indiana, where it was flurrying this morning when I came in and bitterly cold, but I'm hoping that it will turn out pretty good. I'm going to Christmas shop today right after the show. I mentioned earlier my son, he turned 17 today, so again, happy birthday, big boy. And he's our only child, so there's a lot of effort that goes into raising an only child. You try to create a situation where they don't act like an only child. And I know a lot of only children. Hot Rod Holloway's an only child, and I know a lot of other ones, too. And they actually are very caring and giving people, but they have a bad rap. So anyway, my son, he received a concussion this week at a wrestling meet, so he's off today. Otherwise, we would have been down in Jasper, at a wrestling meet. So instead, I'm live in the studio here on this beautiful Saturday morning in B-Town, and I love it because I love wintertime. So if you are at Dick's Sporting Goods or Target about 10:30 this morning, you may see me mulling around looking at pictures on my phone that my wife had sent me to say, these are the things I'd like for Christmas. And folks, trust me, that's the best way. Just find out what they want. Go get it. And everything's good. Get one surprise gift, just one thing. But just as every year I say to my family, let's not go overboard. Let's not go crazy. And, you know, it always happens. We go crazy. So I'm hoping that, and I know that because I see the packages show up in my house. So I know something's going on that I'm not privy to. So I'm going to try to participate in the consumption society that we have here in the United States of America and do my part and try to add to the overall GDP of America. So if you see me out running around this morning at Dick's Sporting Goods or Target, which is my only two stops, I think, this morning, maybe Starbucks, then you'll know I'm doing my part. All right, we've heard a lot about tax reform. We're hoping that something gets done fairly soon. I don't really know if we're expecting something next week or here in the next 2 weeks, but they talk like they want to put something on the president's desk before Christmas. We'll see. But at the end of the day, we know a few things. We know things in my world such as Roth IRA recharacterizations. Now, what this was is an opportunity for you to do a Roth conversion, to take taxable money from your IRA, convert it to a Roth IRA, pay the taxes, right, on that conversion, and then you never pay the taxes again. But then next year, if you realize there's some unintended consequences here, maybe I'm paying more tax than I anticipated, whatever, you could do a do-over. Maybe the market went down. I could do a do-over. That's called a recharacterization. It looks like that's going to be eliminated. I didn't necessarily see that coming, and I didn't see that as a real revenue neutral thing. I know right now when they cut taxes under budget reconciliation, they have to cut spending in areas so that they match up, so it's revenue neutral. And that's why you're seeing a lot of nitpicking. You're seeing little pockets, which doesn't affect the mass majority of people, eliminating this or eliminating that. Like I mentioned, the tax on endowment income for places like Harvard. The little things, it doesn't really affect the average person, but just little tweaks here and there. They're trying to, squeeze a little of this and squeeze a little bit of that. What I thought I might see, and we didn't see, is the elimination of the stretch IRA. Now, that means that when I inherit a retirement account, that I can leave it in my father's name. I can then take minimum distributions that are based on my life expectancy and only pay taxes on what come out of the IRA versus having to pay it all at one time. So I received $100,000. If I wasn't able to stretch that, that's considered regular income to me in that year. I add it to my other income. Well, if you add it to your other income, you may very well be at that 39.6% tax bracket, plus you pay 4.5% to the state. So here I am paying over 40% of that IRA, or $40,000+, or almost half, gone. So the stretch IRA allowed us to keep the $100,000 intact, take a minimum distribution of $3,000 or $4,000 a year, and each year I pay the taxes on that little bit of money, and the IRA continues to grow tax deferred. That's what we call a stretch IRA. I thought for sure that would be eliminated. I don't see anything that says that. I thought we might see a change in how the required minimum distribution schedules are enacted. For instance, right now, if you are 70 and a half, you have to take minimum distributions, but the table that you use is based on the assumption that you have a spouse 10 years younger, and that means you have a smaller distribution because of the joint life expectancy. If they simply went to the single life expectancy, and no one would know this, by the way, because no one knows how much they're supposed to take until they get to that point where they have to figure out what they need to take. If they moved to the single life, that would be about 30% more monies that would come out of the retirement account, therefore taxed, and that would be more revenue. So I didn't see anything on that either. So I'm still a little bit unsure how this thing's going to shake out, but there will be winners. There'll be a few losers, but I think the losers are going to be little pockets around. Maybe it's, people like us mentioned in the endowment, I don't know. It's going to be little pockets all around. Maybe you don't get to deduct all the interest on your home or all your charitable contributions or something like that, but it's only going to affect small pockets of people, because for the majority of people, if they do raise the standard deduction, double it as being proposed, then only about 14% of the people in America who file tax returns will actually itemize their deductions. So we're going to have a bunch of people that will be taking standard deductions. Now, who this is going to benefit the most? People that are already taking standard deductions. So if you're already taking this standard deduction and you get to double your standard deduction, then that's just a massive windfall for you. And remember, this is going to be a temporary thing. This is under budget reconciliation, which means it could last up to 10 years. Now, some of the things they put in say that they might only last for a few years and then go away. Why this is important? Because, folks, it's really important to understand that the math behind our system right now is that taxes will have to go up at some point in your life. And if it's not in your life, it's going to be in your kids' life. But at some point, they have to go up to pay for the things we've already promised. I've gone through this so many times on the show using the examples from the Power of Zero book David McKnight wrote, and he was a guest of mine, just simply walking you through the math. We're $20 trillion in debt. We've been bringing in more tax revenues than we've ever brought in before as a country, but yet we're still spending more than we've ever spent. And then at some point down the road, if we don't change things, that almost every dollar coming in is going to be paying for Medicare, Medicaid, interest on the debt. And then you don't even have the extra money to pay for things like all the all the agencies out there. So there's a good book out there, Running the Government on Sixth Sense. You might want to check it out, because they're saying that by the year 2030, that if nothing changes, that we're going to have 6 cents of every dollar brought in to run everything else. So I'm just saying that that's the math behind it. So if you don't believe it, you know, read about it, understand it, because I'm telling you, if we have an opportunity here in the next 10 years to take taxable dollars that are in your taxable accounts, which is your IRAs and 401ks, and transform them into tax-free accounts at a much lower rate, because at some point you have to pay the piper, and that's going to be people that have money, you're going to be in a position where, you know what, you've already paid off your debt, which is the taxes on those retirement accounts. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk in detail about this idea of taking your money out of taxable accounts and moving it into tax-free accounts, and hopefully motivate you to do the right thing that you know you need to do over this Budget Reconciliation Act of tax reform, hopefully to come soon and give us some reprieve for the next 5 or 10 years. We'll be back, folks. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Dang, man, the snow's coming down heavy here on a Saturday morning in B-Town. I was actually on the phone with a client Friday, who lives in Alabama, and Mark said before we started talking, "Hey, did you see the picture I sent?" I'm like, "No, I haven't." I down looked at it. Man, there was snow. Like 3 or 4 inches of snow still coming down. He said there was 5 inches of snow before it finally ended down in Alabama, of all places. So here we have it's a little bit of snow here in Indiana. So it is Christmas time. I'll be out Christmas shopping here in just a little while, so hopefully you're enjoying the big show. I enjoy hanging out with you guys this morning, and you know, grab a cup of coffee and do what you need to do, but I'm glad you're with us this morning. If you miss any of the show, you can always catch it online at WGCLradio.com, or you can head to iTunes and be a wonderful new subscriber. And by the way, I don't get paid anything for this, nor do I get paid anything when you subscribe to iTunes. I really don't know how they really do all that. I just know that it's kind of cool that if you want to listen to the show, you can go to iTunes or Google Play Music and listen to it that way, which is really a neat thing. All right, we've been talking taxes. I know if you want a real motivational speech on why it's important that you do what you need to do during this period, hopefully, of lower taxes, even if we didn't have lower taxes now, if it was just what it is, we're still at historically low rates. If you go back and look at the history of taxation in the United States, we are still at relatively very low rates from a historical perspective. And when we talk about taxes are going to have to double to pay for the things we've already promised and to continue doing the things that we do, you might think there's no way taxes are going to have to double. Well, I'm not going to take the time this morning to convince you of that. All I'm going to say is if you go back and listen to a show that I had in the springtime with David McKnight, the author of The Power of Zero, or pick up the book, The Power of Zero. In fact, I have a box of them at my office. If you want a copy of The Power of Zero, one time, I'm going to give you one. So if you email me at cfci.us and just go to me directly. So go to like our team, look for me. I'm not sure where I'm at, top, bottom, it doesn't matter. Click the email, say, send me a copy of The Power of Zero. I will absolutely send it to you because you need to read it and you need to know what's going to have to happen in the United States of America to simply pay for the things we've already promised. So, with that said, here's the deal that we've made. So, I would say to you, are taxes in the future higher, lower, or the same? And I will tell you that when I ask that question to a group of people, 99%, and I'm only saying 99% because there has to be a margin of error there, but I'm going to say really about 100% of people say higher. Okay, well, if that's the case, here's the deal that you've made. You've made a deal with the IRS that says, I will put my money away today tax deferred. So I'm going to put it away pre-tax. I'm going to not pay the taxes today at a very known tax rate. I know exactly what the tax rate is, to then take it out later down the road at an unknown tax rate. And if you think about that logically, you're like, really, does that make much sense? Keeping in mind, folks, that the money that you put in, you have a choice. You can either put it in before tax or after tax. If you put it in after tax through a Roth contribution or other means, then you're done. You've paid the taxes on that money. You don't have to do it anymore. But if you put the money in pre-tax, then at some point you have to pull it out and pay the tax at an unknown rate. Your employer, if they put a match in, that match money always goes into the tax, the pre-tax side, which means you'll pay taxes on that money when it comes out. So if you don't separate those two things. If you don't put your money where it's already had the taxes paid, then you're going to have this big lump of money at the end. I hope it's a big lump of money, but you're going to have to pay taxes on that. Now, who would do that? So that's why I'm convincing people week in and week out to do what you know you need to do, which is to put that money away into an account that you've already paid the taxes on, and that's the Roth 401k, it's Roth IRAs, it's all kinds of things. The other thing I was thinking about, just to kind of nail this thing home a little bit, what if you went to the bank and you said, I'd like to have a mortgage? And they said, sure, what do you need? Well, I need $200,000. Fantastic. Here you go. Here's the $200,000. And they say, and you say to them, well, what's the interest rate? Well, we'll let you know in 30 years. And that's what you're doing with your retirement account. You're saying, here, I'm going to put this money away and then later on tell me what it is that I'm going to owe. So as I kind of convey this through analogies and storytelling, I hopefully it's resonating with you that this is what I need to do. Now, what if you're to the point in your career, your life, where, you know what, I wish I would have known what you're telling me 20 years ago, but I can tell you this, guys, the Roth 401k wasn't available 20 years ago, so you didn't really have much choice. But what if you're in a situation now where all my money's in the deferral side. I put it all away pre-tax. It's all the gains are pre-tax. I'm in a situation where I don't know what to do. Well, you can do Roth conversions. You can do in-plan conversions. You can do lots of things, but just know that's going to cost you some money right now, and that's okay. All you're saying to yourself is, listen, I have $500,000 in my retirement account. No, you don't. There's a liability against that. There's a tax liability. If I took it all out today, I would only have about $300,000 at best, maybe $250,000. All I'm saying is that you're going to pay off that liability now. Do you want to pay your house off? Sure, everyone says that. I want to pay my house off before retirement. Well, what about paying the taxes off on your retirement account before retirement or during retirement? And you don't have to do it all at once. You can do it in small increments, you know, in painful little pricks. It's not like you're going to take a big shot all at one time. So I'm just saying to people, listen, we know that there are opportunities out there for you. There's tax bracket maximization strategies where maybe you're bumping up against the tax bracket, but there's still room to do some transfers now. Maybe there's money in your retirement account and you're older and you want to give money to a charity. You can do that through a qualified charitable distribution strategy. That's for people over 70 and a half. Maybe you make too much money to put money into a Roth IRA. There's still backdoor strategies where you can make a non-deductible IRA contribution and then immediately convert it to a Roth. Pay no taxes on that. Be careful because there's some pro rata rules that you need to know about, but I think you don't do that on your own. You want to do it with some guideful advice when it comes to that stuff. But there's a lot of opportunities for people to pay off that liability right now on those accounts that you've never paid the taxes on. And I had someone in this week. He said, that's like taking $4,000 and, in his words, wiping my rear end with it and throwing it out the window. I said, I know, I understand. But listen, if you don't do it now, then it's going to be like maybe $8,000 later that you're going to feel the same way about. And he said, well, what if I don't ever take it out? Well, you know what? They may force it out through RMDs. They might change the RMD rules. You're going to inherit that. Your kids are going to inherit that. They're going to have to pay the tax. And he goes, I'll be dead. I don't care about that. I mean, I know everyone's different. Everyone looks at things differently. But I'm just saying, please, 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 please understand the opportunity that you have in front of you for the next several years to do what you know you need to do in your belly to take the money that you have, pay off the tax liability now so that you never have to pay it again. And there's so many different strategies that you can implement to do that. And through 2018, I'll be having workshops, I'll be having programs, I'll be having radio shows, I'll be having guests to just beat this thing home. Because if any, you know, I don't want you to look back, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years from now and say, I wish I would have known that. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to be talking about it so much. We're going to be talking about it in public programs. We're going to be doing IB classes at Ivy Tech about it. That if you don't know it, it's because you're not paying attention to what kind of educational opportunities are available for you to learn this stuff. So we're gonna plan this out later in December. We're gonna hit the ground running in 2018, and we're gonna pound this message home that, listen, folks, taxes will go up in the future. You're gonna have an opportunity here for the next few years to take advantage of historically low rates. And if you do what you know you need to do, which is to convert taxable money to tax-free, you're going to live life in a very blissful way for the next many, many, many decades ahead. All right, let's take a quick break. When I come back, why do you hear people say, I hate annuities. So when we come back, I'm going to describe the different types of annuities that are out there and try to, again, use some analogies, use some stories of why sometimes annuities fit. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Man, I must feel like I'm in the Christmas spirit. I'm giving away Power of Zero books. So if you are listening and you want to have a copy of David McKnight's Power of Zero, which is how to transform your retirement into the 0% tax bracket, please shoot me an email at cfci.us, and I will absolutely make sure that you put a copy in your hands, because it's that important that you learn and educate yourself about the possibilities of future taxation and how to transform your taxable accounts to tax-free forever. As I was thinking about this during the break, I thought, you know, you're really in a partnership with the IRS. I mean, the larger your retirement account gets, the larger their share becomes. And I'm thinking, you know, as if you were in a partnership, and I've been in a few over my years, and when do you want to pay out, when do you want to buy out that partner? It's when your company is making, just starting to make money, right? That's when you want to buy them out. I had a buddy of mine that we were in a business together, and he said, Hayes, we're about ready to make a bunch of money. I need to get you out. And I'm like, all right, well, that was a lot cheaper to get me out then than it would be today, 10 or 15 years later. So I'm thinking the same thing. You're in a partnership with the IRS when it comes to your retirement accounts. The larger it gets, the larger their share becomes. So pay that partner off earlier than later. If that doesn't motivate you, nothing will. And I'm talking to the wall. All right. I don't have a whole lot of time, folks. But I know I may just save this for next week if I have time. But, you know, there's a lot of people that say, I hate annuities. And there's really four different types of annuities. There's fixed, fixed indexed, immediate, and variable. That's the one that people say they hate. And they're focused on the fees, which I understand, but understand what you get for the fees. I did an illustration this week for someone that put money into a variable annuity, $100,000 at age 60. And by the age 65, their guaranteed income benefit, not their value, but the money that they can draw a guaranteed income from, grew to $128,000. They could then pull 5.5% out for their entire life. That's $7,040 a year. Now, I thought to myself, okay, that's pretty darn good. Now, what would I have to make on an investment that is not inside of an annuity to create the same kind of an income stream? Well, the question is, first, how much money can you pull out of your investment accounts? Well, we've been teaching people for years, you shouldn't pull out more than about 4% from your account each year. Okay, well, if that's the case, my $100,000 would have to grow to $176,000 in 5 years for me to pull out $7,040 a year, the same as the variable annuity. Well, what would I have to return to get to that point? 15.2% per year over the next 5 years. So I'm thinking to myself, is that realistic? Probably not. So if I'm looking at maximizing income with the fewest dollars, then maybe a VA makes sense. So when I listen to these commercials, I listen to people say, I hate annuities, learn how, why I hate annuities. I'm almost like, you know, you have to understand that there's a fee for this value, and if you don't see the value in what you're paying for, then you're probably not an annuity person, but some people are suited for annuities. I don't see McDonald's running ads that say, learn why I hate Starbucks because their coffee costs twice as much. You know, you don't hear that. You know, an actively traded mutual fund might cost about 0.8% to own, you know, maybe even up to 1.8%, depending on the strategy. An annuity is going to cost you 3 to 4% all in. You're not buying it for accumulation. You're buying it for income, death benefits, and those two things. So I always say to people, it's kind of like going on a cruise. And if you have an option between taking one cruise that goes exactly the same places, the same itinerary, the same food, same entertainment, same everything, versus another one that has the same features, but one of them costs 20% more, what's the difference? One of them has lifeboats. Some people would pay for lifeboats. Some people don't. That's really what a variable annuity is. So again, don't be a hater. Just understand things and make good decisions when it comes to your own financial life. All right, let's take a quick break, come back, wrap up the big show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Man, the snow's coming down here in Bloomington, folks, which is fantastic. It's wintertime in B-Town. I'm going to head Christmas shopping as soon as this show's over. I hope you enjoyed this live Saturday morning edition. I sure did. In fact, I have so much more energy on a Saturday morning. Imagine this. You work all day long, very, very hard on a Thursday. You come in late at night and you record, you do the show. It's just tough. Guys, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.